It's that time of the year when children are making their lists and checking them twice as they dream about the new toys they'll receive over the holidays. When it comes to selecting gifts for my two young ones, I've decided that silence is indeed golden. You see, there are only four people who live in my home: me, my husband, Broderick Johnson, and our two kids, Asia and Norris. But on some days, it sounds like an entire village lives under our roof. A village filled with chatty dolls and singing globes and an entire fleet of emergency vehicles.
This is a truck that makes a lot of noise. This car can move.
For the record, that device you just heard asking about quiet, well, it's a talking laptop. My young ones are 5 and 6 years old. They were born in the midst of a talking toy craze. Once you get beyond books and the simplest of building blocks or basic dolls, it seems almost every toy that enters our home has some kind of sound chip.
I like toys that make sounds better than toys that don't make sounds.
You like toys that make sounds better?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you can do the activities and you can answer the quizzes.
A good deal of these yammering toys were gifts, but I've got to admit it, I've purchased many myself. Especially in the early years of parenthood, when high-tech toys had certain seductive charms. But the annoyance factor grew with each new toy, and before long our rec room sounded like Grand Central Station at 5 o'clock on a Friday. Why does a toy barbecue grill need to talk? And why do cars need to rev their engines and blast disco music? And why are they all so loud? These days, almost every parent has an LFT, that is, least favored toy.
What these hydraulics?
That's mine. We tested my LFT here at NPR, and we discovered that the hot rod registered at 90 decibels. That's about as loud as a lawnmower. Geez, who wants that in their living room? To find out why companies produce so many noisy toys, we called Stephanie Oppenheim of the Oppenheim Toy Portfolio, a guide that monitors the play industry. She says the introduction of the microchip sparked the explosion of sound, and toy makers, she explains, crank up the volume to help crank up sales.
Well, the big change in Toyland has to do with Try Me packaging. And so when you go into the store to look at toys, in order to compete, the toys have to make a lot of noise to get your attention. Toy manufacturers a couple of years ago explained to us that the toys need to be sexy, and the way that they're sexy is to make some noise at the retail markets, so that if you're looking at two sets of blocks and one just sits there and can be a wonderfully developmentally correct toy, but the other one makes sound, that's the one that consumers are going to walk away from. At least that's what the toy manufacturers are saying.
So if you're listening in the toy store, if you're at a Walmart or a Target or a Kmart somewhere, it has to be pretty loud.
It absolutely has to be loud enough to really compete in that environment. And you have to remember that your home is going to be a little bit different than that. So ask yourself before you bring something home, do I really want that in my home, in my playroom? And am I going to want to hear it again and again and again?
Stephanie Oppenheim's Try Me packaging theory made sense. But to be sure, we called one of the nation's largest toy makers, Hasbro. The company produces several lines, including Tonka, Play School, G.I. Joe, and Parker Brothers. Leif Asklin is Hasbro's vice president for engineering. He confirms that Try Me theory.
Let's say there's a product that has a Try Me feature. Due to the ambient noise level at the store, that level may not be sufficient. So some toys we have in-store mode that will be disabled when you get it home.
That disable function, it's relatively new, introduced only within the last 4 years, and you often have to read the fine print to find it. Toy companies are constantly searching for ways to take interactive toys to new levels. One example, Hasbro's new and improved Furby toys. Furby is an electronic pet that doesn't just talk, it also displays emotion through facial tics and nuanced expressions. Asklin says that's called emototronics.
The child may ask Furby to tell a story, and Furby will respond either, depends on Furby's mood. If he's in a good mood, he will say yes, and he will go on to tell the story. If not, he may refuse to tell the story and explain that he's hungry or wants something else to happen.
So Furby is moody.
Furby is very moody. It's part of the entertainment factor.
Now, you don't always get what you want in life. That's a reality. But do we really want our children learning those delicate lessons from a temperamental toy instead of a caring adult? The idea of a stuffed animal with attitude, that stoked my curiosity. I decided I wanted to have a conversation with this Furby. So I headed to a local Toys R Us. Inside the store, once I turned the corner past the singing Elmos, finally I found a stack of Furbies. Can't believe I'm sitting here talking to a box. Okay, try me. Press my tummy.
You? Me? Friends?
Yes, we're friends. His ears go up and down. His eyes blink. Let's try it and see what happens when I say no.
You? Me? Friends?
No.
Uh-oh.
Not the most satisfying conversation I've ever had. Well, back at my house, my two children are still fascinated with talking toys. I understand there are benefits. My son's developing an ear for Spanish, thanks to his bilingual gadgets. And without these interactive games, I'm certain that I wouldn't be quizzing my six-year-old on Ronald Reagan's tax policy or Martin Van Buren's running mate.
Who was the vice president during Martin Van Buren's presidency? A. Thomas Hendricks or B. Richard Johnson? Correct.
Yes!
Richard Johnson was Van Buren's vice president.
Even so, in the future, my children won't be seeing or hearing as many of these interactive toys. I prefer that my kids set aside that newfangled stuff and hunker down with an old-fashioned chestnut, like Lincoln Logs. That, to me, is the most beautiful sound, when wonder and curiosity are the only things powering their imagination. No batteries required.
I'm just gonna keep on building this one with no windows. There's gonna be no window on this story, because it's for the animals. And I'm gonna make one more story, three-story house.
To see my LFT, or least favorite toy, go to npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.